This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cubs convention is getting started just across the river here at the Sheraton, and a new member of the Cubs joins us now. Craig Breslow, who's on Twitter at Craig Breslow, is the Cubs Director of Strategic Initiatives for Baseball Operations. Hi, Craig. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Good. With all due respect, what does that job title mean?
You know, I had a feeling that might be your first question. So essentially, I think the job will give me broad exposure across all the sub-departments of a front office, while also taking a look at kind of assessing and evaluating the current systems and processes. And then given that my experience, of course, is as a pitcher, I think I'll also be supporting the pitching on infrastructure, both in terms of player development and then also at the major league level.
How does your CV help you?
I would say, you know, there is, so I was a molecular biophysics and biochemistry student at Yale. Mm-hmm. And so I always had, I suppose, scientific inclination or thought about things very methodically and analytically, kind of aligned with the scientific method. And I think as you see, you know, the incredible implementation of new technology and new ideas, being able to kind of vet through some of the noise with a devoted and concerted process probably helps me in this role.
So when you take this job, do you see yourself, do you want to run a team? Do you want to be back on a bench somewhere? Do you want to, are you starting out on a new career? And what do you envision if everything goes right? You're what? Are you a Theo Epstein level team president?
That may be getting ahead of myself. I think what I'm looking for right now is the opportunity to work alongside some very talented people who have accomplished a ton in the game, to learn a ton, especially, as I mentioned, across all departments in a front office. You know, my exposure to the game has been largely narrow, and I think something like this will give me an opportunity to kind of narrow the deficiencies or narrow the gap in knowledge of the game, and down the road I think we'll have to see you know where the path takes me. But the thing, you know, among the things that I'm most excited and confident about is that this job will give me kind of contact with a comprehensive spectrum of responsibilities.
When did you know during your playing career, or was it until after your playing career, that you wanted to get into baseball on the front office side of things?
I thought it would always be kind of the natural progression and eventually the natural transition. I had long thought about transactions and, you know, if I had monopoly money, would I be making the same free agent acquisitions or trade? I was always kind of enamored by roster construction and some of the nuances, you know, that are incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement. I found myself often kind of questioning, you know, is there a better way to do this? And I think that question specifically will bode well in this role. Just the idea and curiosity around, you know, is what we're doing good enough, or is there a better way to do it?
Well, that has also been the quest of many modern educated baseball minds, and finding the next thing, and finding this overused term of market inefficiency. What is everybody else assumed to be true? Where are the holes in here? What can be mined for something where we can outstrip the competition? Is that just a larger strategic thinking issue, the ability to notice patterns, the ability simply because some people can see things other people can't, or is that learned?
I think it's probably both. I think it's also an outpost of this influx of data and information. When there weren't so many factors in decisions, there were far fewer opportunities to get lost. And I think, you know, there has kind of been this move toward understanding the way decisions are being made, the inherent biases that we all face, and how that may manifest itself in draft selections or free agent acquisitions or, you know, evaluation of talent. And so, you know, I think it takes a bit of kind of an outsider's perspective to say, wait a second, you know, are we kind of getting caught in our own inefficiencies? But again, I think it would be impossible for this role to develop in a vacuum in the absence of this kind of age of big data.
Talk with Craig Breslow. He's the Cubs Director of Strategic Initiatives for Baseball Operations. You can find him on Twitter at Craig Breslow. He tweets only about strategic initiatives or baseball operations. Very limited Twitter profile. Wondering, Craig, we've heard something Dan and I dealt with kind of all season with Josh Rosen in Arizona, quarterback for the Cardinals, with a scouting report that came out on Lucas Giolito back in the day with stuff about Trevor Bauer. Can athletes be too smart for their own good? I've heard this in scouting reports about guys, and I've always kind of wondered if that's more an indictment on the coach or the scout who writes that up than it is the player himself.
Right. You know, too smart for your own good is difficult, right? Because if you were actually that smart, you'd realize that you could be more effective without maybe devoting so much brain power to your task. So it's kind of, you know, an inherent conundrum, I suppose. But certainly, you know, it becomes easier today than ever before to become bogged down in information and data and, you know, to be so focused on the rote that you lose some of your innate athleticism. And I think that's what you would maybe call this being too smart for your own good is having trouble filtering through good information versus bad, such that it's kind of creating inefficiencies in your movement, in your behavior, in your training. I mean, I don't think you could argue that any of the guys that you mentioned are too smart for their own good. And that's not because I don't believe they're incredibly smart, but I believe it's because they're incredibly good.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor Bauer, if you kind of watch the trajectory of his career, he's continuing to study the game and learn and develop new pitches. You know, his pitch design is absolutely incredible and should be admired and attempted to be duplicated. And he's only become a better pitcher because of all of that. So if such a thing as being too smart exists, I'm not sure we're quite bumping up against that threshold just yet.
What fascinates me, and especially when you talk about your involvement in the pitching infrastructure and actually working with pitchers, considering you were an MLB pitcher from 2005 to 2017, of where the secret sauce is in combining objective data with the mind of an athlete in the moment. And I always swing wildly on this because I get so excited, you know, looking at pitch effects and looking at so many of the things that the Sport View cameras are able to show us about spin rate and about velocity and placement and all that. And then I sit down and we talk to Jesse Chavez, and he so elegantly and so simply explained how he looks at a batter and how he looks at how the previous pitch was approached. And then I wonder where do these worlds start to merge, and where do you get an advantage in how you merge these two worlds?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the messaging, the packaging and delivery of information is vitally crucial. It doesn't really matter how well you collect information or how accurately you project or extrapolate data. If you cannot get pitchers or any athletes to buy in, then the disconnect will utterly lead to failure, invariably, right? And so I think it becomes the job of a skilled pitching coach, of a skilled player development staff, which I'm confident the Chicago Cubs possess, to educate players, to kind of feed their curiosity and to make them understand that providing an additional resource is not an indictment of current abilities or skills. It's simply an additional tool alongside many of the other tools that athletes are currently using to help them take a step forward. And I think that can be disarming. And the next piece, I think, is that all of this is predicated upon a trusting relationship, right? It's a lot easier to accept information, especially information that might make you uncomfortable, if you believe that the person providing it has your best interests in mind.
Craig, you mentioned in the case of Trevor Bauer, his development and his looking at high-speed cameras, all this kind of stuff, creating pitches, that kind of thing. Where do you, and I don't, I don't mean to grab a hot take out of you. I know that these guys are somewhat divisive in some pitching circles, but we've seen, I saw the graphic on MLB Network the other day, a bunch of driveline guys have been hired from their outpost of pitching infrastructure and research into major league organizations. How do you feel about pitchers who seek the outside input of driveline, who have developed themselves there, and their, you know, driveline's kind of leaking into major league baseball for better or worse?
Right, right. You know, I think the jury is probably still out, but I think there are a lot of really smart guys at driveline, and if that weren't the case, then A, you're right, they wouldn't be infiltrating Major League Baseball, and B, some of the top talent wouldn't be seeking their counsel. You know, so I think we have to recognize that there are, you know, kind of third parties that can benefit the development of skills. At the same time, we also have to be very careful in how we're vetting and making decisions about who, you know, whom we're entrusting with both our athletes and our own careers. You know, certainly speaking from experience, I sought out kind of subject matter experts in the off season, as you know, it seems very commonplace to say, well, I would see a strength and conditioning coach who's an expert in the field, or I would see a physical, you know, the best physical therapist that I could geographically get to. And that wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't raise an eyebrow at that at all. Well, you know, over the last probably 5 years or so, you know, especially on, you know, on the pitching side with driveline, and on the hitting side with some of these hitting gurus who have impacted major league hitters and pitchers quite dramatically, we're seeing that trend. And I think there are some experts that are worth entrusting with our careers. We just have to be sure and confident, like I said, in the process around which we're filtering out kind of the bad apples.
We are talking with Craig Breslow on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. The former major league pitcher is now the Cubs Director of Strategic Initiatives for Baseball Operations. And we've talked a lot over the course of this show the last year about what velocity is doing to change baseball. And it seems to me all roads, for whatever you want to say, whether it's pace of play or whether it's action within the game, strategy and in end game situations, all roads lead back to velocity. There will be a response somehow. Major league players are too good. There's always something next. And I don't know what it is. When you start to think over what hitters, what offenses are going to try to do to somehow mitigate, counterbalance, respond to this massive rise in average velocity, what's going to happen?
Sure. Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right in that in terms of skill acquisition or development, velocity is leading, right? The, you know, the offensive side catching up to the velocity is kind of the lagging party or the rate limiting step right now. But we've seen throughout history that every advance on one side is eventually mitigated by a response. You know, I think we may see differences in the way hitters train. We may be able to target some of the honing of neuromuscular pathways in terms of reaction time. Maybe hitters decide that they're going to start to use lighter bats, or they, you know, instead of, maybe we watch batting practice evolve from 65 mile an hour feel good about yourself type swings to, you know, finding a machine that can throw a baseball at 100 or 105 miles an hour such that the 95 is now a little bit more comfortable. You know, I think if we look at sports as kind of a free market, we have to give the market a chance to adjust. And the only way to do that is over time.
You mentioned, Craig, that as you step into this role, you've got gaps in knowledge that you'd like to narrow. I obviously, some of that comes from your focus as just a pitcher over 12 years in Major League Baseball. If you could do like the Thanos snap, right? And four other players narrow a particular gap of knowledge, whether that's because from a lack of communication from the front office to players, or players to other players to coaches, what gap of knowledge in your mind needs the most narrowing and quickest here as we approach next season?
Yeah, I think probably generally, and I don't think I'm sharing trade secrets. The education component around some of the new data and metrics that we're collecting, I think, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in some of the terms that you opened with, right? The launch angle and exit velocity and spin rate and, you know, vertical and horizontal displacement. And mostly we generally have an idea of what that means, but maybe where we're failing right now is in you know, lack of understanding the way that some of these terms or what you, you know, what you watch on TV and by way of StatCast information that's collected, the way that's impacting careers or the way that's impacting, you know, younger professional player swings or pitch usage. So I think there's an education component that says this is information that we're collecting. Here's why it may or may not be relevant to you. And here's what we would like to see you do with it, because, you know, I think you can argue that misunderstanding information is actually more detrimental than just failing to collect the information in the first place, right? Making an adjustment because you believe the information is telling you something that it's not might be worse off than just not having the information at all.
Greg, we appreciate your time. I have to mention, it was funny that in researching you and your story before this interview, there was a sort of a legend that was making its way around when you were playing about what was essentially like a superhero origin story about your eventual interest in molecular biophysics and biochemistry, because the story sort of took on a life of its own, and it became this idea that at one point when your older sister was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, that it's like you got into this to find a cure for the to actually like do it yourself. And I read it's like, no, it's just it was taken care of. You gained some interest in it and learned a lot about it. I like the other origin story that you got into it so you yourself could find the cure.
Right. Did I wear a cape and a mask?
Absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think there were two galvanizing points that I point to as like why I believed I would pursue medicine. One was breaking my wrist as a 7-year-old. And then the second was my sister's diagnosis of cancer and her eventual, treatment and positive outcome. Unfortunately, I had no part in either conclusion, aside from in the first one being a patient and in the second one being, you know, a loving sibling. I wish I had the truth for you.
Well, best of luck in this. I look forward to having a conversation as the season in your career goes on. It sounds like it's going to be the start of a fascinating time for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm excited to get going and work alongside some really impressive colleagues.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig Breslow, Cubs Director of Strategic Initiatives for Baseball Ops.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.